Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, okay.
Hi, I'm Dean.
And I'm Paul. And if you're wondering, gee, this intro was a lot shorter than usual. Why do my ears not bleed so much? And I'll tell you why. It's because Jason's not here. We ousted him. Basically, he became too expensive and too big in his boots. So we were like, you know what? We don't actually need you to do this. So I'm your host, Paul, and welcome to Nerds Before
Birds.
You just
got the really disconnected shop. From, like, yeah. Just disconnected
kind
from
of
the
as disconnected
modern
as
man.
Intro is now. Yeah, he did. Anyway, well, whatever. This is Nerds Before Birds. What's up? How you doing?
Hey.
Welcome. today, we are continuing down the minefield of hell that is Star Wars.
Last freaking week.
Is it though?
We're
doing Mandalorian next week. Oh, yeah. We're doing Mandalorian next week. Oh, okay. Yeah, we are. Well, you're not.
No.
But we are.
So Jason's been kicked out this week. Next week, I won't be around. So you'll
basically what I feel is I can carry this show on my own. I'm just trying to find the right wingman. So this is Dean's chance this week.
Okay.
I'm going to test Jason the next week, and then the week after that, we'll figure out who's actually going
to
stay.
You're trying to figure out which one of us is going to be ousted.
Yeah, who's going to be my goose.
Right, okay.
The goose to my maverick.
You know what? I'm happy for Jason to be your goose. I do not want to be your goose or affiliated with that.
I don't want to go anywhere near your goose. So, but
you
no,
can
Jason couldn't make it
too.
Tonight.
No.
It's just me and the D-bag.
Wow.
Nope.
No.
Me and Dean.
Let's
just me
that.
And Dean. We're talking about Star Wars episode 3. We've made it to the good one.
Yeah.
Oh, that gives up what I'm going to think about this episode. this is the last one of the prequel trilogy.
Yes.
This kind of officially brings us to the end of Star Wars cringe month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Dean.
Hey.
What did you think of Star Wars episode 3?
I think you're right in the fact that this, and I don't know, okay, I loved this movie when it first came out. Absolutely cool. And then it went through like a period of like, you know, when memes became a thing, specifically Star Wars memes.
Oh, it absolutely brought these movies back.
Oh, yeah. And there was like this.
Into good graces.
Well, to an extent, there was all the no, and do it
no,
and all that.
Do it. Classic.
Quite a few points were brought out. I was like, oh, that's, oh, like the Darth Vader scream. A lot of fun meme stuff like that. Yeah.
Yep.
And like, ooh, there's a lot more cringe in this movie than I thought. Having said that, there are so many cool moments that sort of makes up for it. Anyway,
this is the least cringy of the last five movies we've reviewed. I don't know. I really do hate Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones does suck. I think this is at least like this is probably just beats out Phantom Menace for me. Like, because I've surprisingly weirdly really enjoyed watching Phantom Menace again.
I respect that. Phantom Menace was a great movie.
It was a lot more fun than I expected. This one was kind of about as fun as I expected it to be. If that makes sense.
I think Phantom Menace was fantastic because like, yes, Jar Jar was frustrating,
but
the set pieces they kept flowing into
were
still really good. Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith suffer as soon as you get Anakin and Padme alone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you're like, I just don't give a crap about
There's a lot more impressive filmmaking stuff going on in Phantom Menace. And then as soon as Hayden Christensen comes in, he kind of just wrecks every scene he's in. And it's a bit psyche, but
that's right. Well, I didn't realize that because he copped, and I do need to fact check this.
Right.
So if this is wrong, shut up. It's a podcast on the internet for free. Take it easy.
We've never been good at research or gaming. Never.
But I'm pretty sure
that
Hayden Christensen was not super happy with how he was received in Star Wars and also in Looper, which is fair because that's a bad movie. Not Looper, Jumper.
Jumper.
Sorry. Anyway, he's a farmer now.
What? No.
Yeah. Yeah, Hayden Christensen's a farmer. Yeah.
What? So he basically went the way of Thanos. Hated by everyone. Scum of the, and then decided to go and become a farmer. I got to fact check that, man. That is more, I'm not, it's not that I don't believe you. I just want to see a photo of Hayden Christensen as a farmer.
It was, so the quick research I've done, so this is good. This is a fact. He bought a farm in just outside Toronto in early 2008 and began teaching himself all about agriculture.
Well, there you go.
But Revenge of the Sith was 2005. So well, after episode six, episode three, he, not too happy about it and went to live the peaceful life on a farm where there were no sand people because he killed them all
younglings.
There's no child labor, no sand people.
Brilliant. No sand.
Yeah, he's not a sand farmer. He's a dirt farmer.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Anyway, we've digressed.
Good luck with that. Yes.
Did you like it, Dean?
I did like it. It was good. It was fun. I think watching, like, having this whole cringe month and a half and bridging and framing these movies in a completely different context really helps. Definitely.
It makes you appreciate what we've got.
Oh, yeah.
We are truly in the golden age of cinema. Or we were in, like, 2005.
Yes.
All right. Well, obviously, it's no surprise. I liked it.
Sorry I didn't ask you. What did you think?
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's selfish. I mean, like, you've got to pick it up. That's why you're not going to be here next week.
That's it.
I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. My ranking of the new trilogy, of the prequel trilogy, got to stop calling it the new trilogy, is 3-1-2. So I think it is better than Phantom, only because it's just like this. The big action pieces in this are huge.
The story is better.
It's really cool. The story's a lot better. Mm-hmm. You get to see Palpatine's endgame, and I love that. Like, rewatching all of them, and it's one of those things, we watch them every year for May the 4th or Revenge of the 5th, and it's fun, but you sort of joke around and sort of dick around during the prequel trilogy. Yep. This is usually when we actually go to, like, Kmart or Toys R Us and buy a Star Wars Lego. So we'll come back and start building Lego. So we're not really paying attention. Mm-hmm. But watching them, you just see how conniving Palpatine is. And
I
love it.
Yes, definitely. And it definitely does a lot to bridge all three prequel films together. And totally, like, it makes Palpatine's story make sense.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so a lot of cool things in this. Should we get into it?
Yep. Cool. Let's get into it. So we open with the crawl. Long story short, there's war, obviously.
War.
The Separatists have flogged Palpatine. Mm-hmm. So they've sent Anakin and Obi-Wan. And this one, I still am adamant this is the best opening in all, I'm going to take a stab and say all nine movies.
Yeah, I would agree.
You see the two Jedi starfighters flying around the top of a Vanitas-class Star Destroyer.
Reveal.
And
such
then they rotate
reveal.
Down into the fight, and it's absolutely mental. There's absolute chaos among the upper atmosphere of Coruscant. Mm-hmm. And if you watch the 2000 and whatever cartoon Clone Wars, you see all this fight. You see them enter Coruscant's atmosphere and start the attack. It's fantastic.
Yes.
But basically, they're going to get Palpatine. Count Dooku has captured Palpatine. And Anakin and Obi-Wan have been charged with going to get him back.
Mm-hmm.
So, after a lot of space bollocks, a lot of droid killing, a lot of flying around, a lot of, like, hey, nothing too fancy. A
bunch of literal space balls.
And also, like, humongous, like, capital ships broadsiding each other.
Oh,
it's just excellent. It's just a great sequence. Mm-hmm, I love it.
And the fully, like, rescue mission while they're blowing up the ship that they're in. That's pretty cool.
If we can't have him, no one can.
Yes.
They go into the scorched earth mode.
Mm-hmm.
So they find, is it the Red Hand? What was Grievous' ship's name? It had a name that I forgot, and I'm sad about that because I knew it. Was it the Red Hand?
It was.
Yeah, look, I'll keep going. You fact-check me.
Sure.
So they find Grievous' ship. Obi-Wan is like, have you noticed the shields are still up? That was an absolutely atrocious accent.
Yeah.
They blow the shields apart, and they land inside the docking bay for this ship, kill every single droid in the landing bay, and then proceed with their rescue mission.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you go with the fact check?
The Invisible Hand.
Invisible Hand.
Invisible Hand.
Hand of some sort.
Yep, you're welcome. Now I
Isn't
can get
that
back.
What they call it when you sit on your hand? That's something else. Anyway,
different podcast, man. Different podcast.
Oh, different podcast. Apologies. Anyway, so the Jedi are being tracked. Obviously, this is a trap. Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan's advice is to spring the trap. They go up to where Palpatine is, and it's all very easy, but Dooku appears behind them as if waiting for this moment for a very long time.
Ooh.
So they engage in a lightsaber fight. Dooku versus Obi-Wan and Anakin, who are fighting together this time, because as we remember, it did not go well for Anakin when he went in solo.
No.
Last week. Not last week, last movie.
Well, it depends. Like week. When you watch it, if you watch it last week. Also, they have, like, you're led to believe that this is the first time that they've met up since Attack of the Clones, right? They have several run-ins in the Clone Wars that sort of like makes this whole banter a bit confusing.
It's the one thing, it's the one thing that Clone Wars didn't. Like, I feel like Clone Wars, the animated show, contributed a lot to Star Wars. I think it gave everyone like 5 seasons of just extra lore, all this stuff.
And it kind of made everything better. Like, especially the prequel movies. But I think like this one thing now stands out as a bit of a discrepancy because of it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Count Dooku was too cool a character not to use.
Yeah, yeah. You had to bring him in, and then you had to have him fighting Anakin and Obi-Wan at different points. But and
I'm pretty sure the Grievous thing is right. Like, they never really fought Grievous.
No, well, not Anakin didn't. Anakin, they made sure that Anakin never met Grievous. Obi-Wan has a bunch
Obi-Wan
of...
Obi-Wan fought him a few times.
Yeah, fights, but there are certain points where it's like, they're actually, Anakin and Obi-Wan are in the same scene, like same location, but Anakin gets like, you know...
He's fighting the droids or
yeah,
like
Yeah, fighting the
stuff,
droids or gets blocked, gets and then separated. Obi-Wan has his Grievous fight, and then Anakin comes in after Grievous has already escaped. It's like...
That's the episode where they find his base, like they find his home,
Yes.
With all the spare parts of Grievous?
Yes, that's right.
Creepy.
Yes, it
that
is.
That was a good episode.
So it was like, there's a couple of contrived moments with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's
You
fun.
Know what?
It's
if
fun.
There's like at least only 2 or 3 moments in a 5-season show that sort of don't work, I think
that's a pretty well done
pretty
effort.
Pretty bloody good.
Very,
well
very
done.
Good. Very good.
To those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Whose names we all know. So
watch
I'm not
the Clone Wars. That's basically
them.
What we're saying. Watch the Clone Wars.
Watch the Clone Wars. Get Disney Plus or just, you know,
it's all on there.
Find it somewhere else.
It's coming back
it's
next
pretty
year
cheap.
As well. So,
it's coming
you know,
back.
You want to watch it?
Last season to wrap
yes.
it all up. Anyway, speaking of wrapping things up, the Jedi engage Count Dooku in a good old lightsaber
Boom.
Fight. Obi-Wan kind of gets tanked
yeah.
in this one. He sort of sucks
yeah.
a lot. He gets knocked out.
He
gets
really
thrown
does.
Around, blah, blah, blah.
Like, actually knocked out.
He comes down. He gets knocked out quickly,
yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, which is, look, that's okay. He had a big day.
He's an old. He's getting
so,
old.
He is getting on, but Christopher Lee is older, so I don't know what that excuse is. But I guess you could also
true?
Argue that he didn't end up equally as well as Obi-Wan.
Anakin fights what Obi. Happened?
Well, Anakin fights, not Obi, he fights Dooku.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually he gets the better of him. Anakin is obviously a lot more confident now.
Yes.
And cuts both of Dooku's hands off, catches
well,
his lightsaber.
Well done, Anakin.
And well done. Kill him.
Kill him.
He positions both blades across his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And Palpatine's like, kill him.
Do it.
So Anakin does it.
Mm-hmm.
Does it.
Does it.
And kills Count Dooku. Mm-hmm. He has a little bit of a moment mm-hmm. where he's like, I shouldn't have done that. But then Palpatine's right.
like, well, saying, you did it. So.
Well, you did it now. And I recorded it on my phone and I'm going to take it to the Department of Fair Trade. Prepare for an inquiry. No. Palpatine, quite the opposite, is like, that was awesome.
You had to,
he was too
you know?
Dangerous
yeah.
to be left alive.
Yeah,
you had
exactly.
to do it. Mm-hmm. So...
Now, Dooku, should we mention how confused and shocked Dooku is at the do it?
He looks at Palpatine like,
what?
Are you for real?
Yeah.
Are we cool? What? What's wrong?
Yeah, and I wonder why. I wonder why. We'll find out.
Because he's been playing everyone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's got outmaneuvered.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, so the Invisible Hand. Yeah, it's bloody right here on the Wikipedia page. Not that I'm reading Wikipedia.
What?
But I am.
Look,
it's a long movie, okay? Take it easy.
For sure.
Anakin picks up the unconscious Obi-Wan, takes Palpatine, and they start escaping through an elevated shaft. But now we see a really sick scene where one of the Republic cruisers, they broadside each other. They do a really large, substantial amount of damage to the invisible hand, and it starts to tilt. It starts to fall towards the planet.
Oh,
and
fully
the elevator
Titanic.
Shaft becomes horizontal.
It is.
So they can walk along it.
This is a...
But then they right it, and it becomes vertical again.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty cool scene. Yes.
I thought it was good.
It's one of those weird things. It's suddenly big, massive action battle scene, and then... It cuts in and it's like, oh, they're just walking down an elevator shaft. Like, you
that's
know.
Right.
It's just like, it's a cool
hard
like,
cut back to the,
gap
to
in
the
pacing.
Crew deck. You're like, bring the ship back up.
Yeah, yeah.
It took a long time before they fired the reverse rockets.
Mm.
I feel like that's kind of like your first thing. You're like, I'm falling, let's not.
Yeah, this is true.
Oh, actually, now that I remember it, there is parts of this bit that I do hate. Like, I think they went a little bit overboard with giving the droids personality.
Yeah, okay.
Like when the elevator's coming back up and there's droids like, and you're like, Roger, what were you heading, you moron? You've got like 10 seconds.
It's kind of like they finally identified that maybe these battle droids are a bit comical and stupid and people like are kind of, you know, making fun of them. So let's just lean into that and completely, because yeah,
that
you're right.
That's
like,
true.
They sound different. They're a lot more like, dorky and
they're
stupid.
Super vocal. Like in episode one, it's very just like, you know, Raja Raja, and that's it.
Yeah.
Whereas now they're having a little chit chats.
Yeah.
I do like the bit where, it ties into this scene. So they're escaping the invisible hand, and then all of a sudden, Ray Shields, let's just say that they didn't know how to get the Jedi from that deck to General Grievous, and they phoned this scene in. It is stupid. It's like, even Obi-Wan's like, hang on a second, we're smarter than this.
We're smarter than this.
And then R2 just comes ripping out of a door. It's like, what? Slammed into the wall. And then one of the super battle droids just like, just kicks him.
That's right.
Funny. I like that. Stupid little droid.
Stupid droid. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what happens? It's like, yeah, he comes in and is like, hang on, we're better than this. And it's like, it's kind of like, it's a weird point where you think, is he just talking to George Lucas right now? It's like, why did you write this scene? You're better than this. Like, we're better than this.
But yeah, I know. Even they're surprised at how bad the writing is. So they go off to General Grievous. They get caught.
And then my characters then rebelled against me. The end.
Yeah. The end. And then this good guy then was bad. Thank you. So they go to the crew deck. They meet General Grievous. Grievous, who is probably new to the Force, doesn't realize that Jedi can force pull.
We've had some conversation about this. Is Grievous actually Force sensitive?
No.
He's not at all?
No. Okay. I think he's Force sensitive, but he can't use the Force.
Yeah, yeah, not like a Jedi or anything.
So,
but
yeah, he's Force sensitive in that his reflexes are wicked fast, and he's pretty with it, like in his training. But I've never seen him in any of the animated series or even in this movie, like Force push, do anything, lightning, choke, nothing. But I mean, none of his lightsabers are red anyway, so he's not even really.
Well, he's just they're Sith. All trophies because they're all from the Jedi that he's killed. And my understanding,
just a mechanical killing machine.
Yeah, my understanding was he was so fast and like, you know, crazy strong because of the cybernetic enhancements, not because of anything Force kind of specific.
Yeah,
and like he's obviously a great fighter because he's been trained by Dooku. With like,
yes,
you know, so that's
There was a reason why they picked him because he was shot down, if I'm remembering his like story correctly. He was shot down by Palpatine.
Right.
And then he took
him. Okay.
Okay, no, he became, it's all of the mechanics. So he's absolutely not skilled with the Force. So he's neither Jedi nor Sith, not even sensitive to the power of the Force. It's purely just the cybernetics that make
it
him
is.
Bust.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Right,
hey,
there you go.
Look, it's not all comedy here, people. Sometimes we learn things.
We do. Yeah, it's not going to help you, but hey, You're welcome.
No, but at some point, I guarantee you, in your life, you're going to be talking about Star Wars, and someone says, "Was Grievous force sensitive?" And you can go with confidence.
You know what? Definitely not.
Definitely not. So,
because the Nerds Before Birds told me. Speaking of,
Nerds Before Birds told me, and with a name like that, why would they lie?
Yeah. Also,
yeah.
Go listen to Nerds Before Birds. They're a great podcast. We're basically just giving you the script that you can use when you're talking with your friends. That's what we want.
Yeah, that's it. So you're welcome for that as well. Boom.
Yeah.
We're equipping you for everyday life.
You can support them on Patreon at... No, sorry. Okay, continue.
All right, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
So, it's a long movie. Anakin and Obi-Wan get their lightsabers back and engage with General Grievous's Magna Guards. These guards are cool because apparently they have two brains. You cut their head off, they got another one in their chest. They're a little bit more tricky to defeat, but... End of the day, they're still droids, so they get killed.
This is it.
As does the rest of the bridge crew, mostly. Grievous pieces out. He blows one of the windows out, and because he's a robot, he doesn't really need to breathe. So space is cool for him, literally. So he flies out of the ship, gets back in somewhere else, and fires all of the escape pods. So now... The invisible hand that has taken a substantial amount of damage is in the upper atmosphere of Coruscant, and it's coming in hot. So, Anakin has asked,
Oh, I was going to continue on, but no, you're doing good. You're doing good.
No, come on. I'm talking a lot. Get into
it. Okay. So, basically, Anakin, he is the best fighter pilot. Like, he's the best pilot in the galaxy. Likes to think he is anyway.
He can spin. He can...
He can veer slightly to the left. He can...
He'll try spinning.
Yes.
He'll try this button. That's got to work.
He'll finish a pod race.
He'll finish a pod race.
He'll do all those. He'll jump duck. Out.
Hmm? What? He'll duck. Anakin, drop. He'll drop. He's very well trained.
Very quickly. He'll jump out of vehicles. He'll do all that.
Oh, I hate it when he does that.
Mm-hmm. He's going to try this time.
He likes perving on women through cameras.
He does. Which isn't really specific to like pilot skills. That's just...
No.
It's a different set of skills.
Look, he has keen eyes. That's all it is.
Cool. Moving on.
He's
going to try to fly half a ship because...
That's right.
Why not?
Well, the ability to pilot this thing is irrelevant now.
That's what he said. Yeah. Anyway, this is pretty cool. This is like, it's what does a crash landing look like in space? It looks like this.
Pretty lame.
Yeah, pretty lame. I like because they call in the apparently there's a fire department still exists in
they showed you that call because all it just looked like was fire ships just start putting out a separatist ship coming in the upper atmosphere. Where in all reality, you'd think, nah, stuff ya, burn.
Well, yeah, but also, do you want like a burning ship, whether it be an enemy ship or
you could put it out in the atmosphere, but what happens when it explodes again when it hits the ground?
That is a fair point.
It just feels like a waste of water.
Yeah, that's very true. Yep.
Which there's no lakes on Coruscant, so I don't really know where they're getting water from. I don't know where they're getting water from. The whole planet's a city.
And you reckon it's imported from Kamino? Maybe. Why not?
Hoth. Oh, they're just bringing the ice cubes from Hoth.
Yes. That's brilliant.
They only defrost a little bit on the journey, so brilliant. They're pretty good.
They lose like, what, 5%? That's it.
Tell you what, if you were a space freighter,
yes,
going into the ice trade would be a really solid business because
literally,
your ice wouldn't melt.
This is true. Well, you're welcome. but I also feel like with... carbonite and whatnot. Like they have me. It's not like refrigerators don't exist in this universe.
They're just really effective.
Yeah. They have.
They move quick.
Exactly. No, but
anyway.
Literally, like any, you know, yeah, you're right. This is just off point. But like any kind of source.
Rambling. Yeah. Two idiots.
Yeah. Any kind of resource.
I'm going to rename it.
If you're in the tray, like, you know, you just find a planet, it's covered with it. The one resource, and you're good. Anyway,
meat planet.
Yes, the great planet Porconia. All right. Let's move on because this is getting weird. I kind of feel like we need Jason.
All right. Okay. Anyway.
So you Anakin lands the ship, and they they survive, and they go and meet
another
up with
another happy landing.
Yeah, another happy landing, and then they're like, "We'll better get Palpatine back to the Senate." Hey, Anakin, you can go take him because I hate. Well, this is Obi-Wan saying it. Like, Obi-Wan doesn't want to spend any time with the stinky senators, and so he goes off to the Jedi Council and reports back with them, and gets Anakin to drop Palpatine back off to the Senate, which is really convenient because then he gets to have like a little sneaky with his little missus on the side.
They're really trusting Bail Organa not to just turn around.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Like they are.
Because he's like, excuse me for a sec, and then runs away.
Yeah. Just like, and then like no one was like, oh yeah, no, okay, Anakin will be back. Let's not turn around to see what he's doing right behind me.
Maybe it's toilet.
That's true.
No.
Maybe it's a force trick. Maybe he's using the whole Jedi mind, like, you know, making a noise. What was that? No, probably just another drill. That kind of thing.
I'm right next to you. You are right next to me.
Exactly. Anyway. That. Anyway, so they go off as sneaky. Padme has a little bit of news.
Oh, what
just
is it?
A little bit. She is complete totes up the duff.
Rogante.
Yep. She is Plagueis.
Yep.
And Anakin is super happy to be dad. Because he loves younglings, and as we'll find out later on, very keen.
He now loves not just the woman, but the children too. That's a fun joke. Don't worry.
Okay. You know, if you've seen the other ones, you get it. You get it.
Yeah,
of course.
Funny.
You wouldn't
Relax.
Be watching.
Calm
this.
Down.
Yeah,
just hit delete. Stop typing.
It's funny, right? Stop it.
Yeah.
Anyway, back again. Yeah, okay, what happens next? So they're happy.
Well,
Obi-Wan's
a point
what's going
of note
on?
Is that all this crap happens.
Mm-hmm.
We quickly pivot back to Grievous, who's a little bit peeved.
Right, yes.
And Sidious basically just tells him, take all of the Trade Federation and all the Separatist leaders and go to the system of Utapau.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Utapau.
They basically, Grievous is a bit freaked out. He's like, we've lost Dooku. Is this a big deal? And Palpatine's like, not really. Oh, sorry. Sidious.
What?
Is like, sorry. I'm so sorry. Whoops. I know.
No.
He basically says, the war's almost coming to an end and I'll have a new apprentice
I'll
soon.
Have a new
so don't
apprentice
worry about
soon.
It.
Wonder who that's going to be. Well, you know what? Exactly. Paul's just ruined it for you. So we might as well.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Might as well just end it here.
All right. Well, look, there's some crap Thanks about Anakin. He is freaking out that Padme's going to die, but we don't really care about that.
Yeah.
Then Palpatine needs to talk to Anakin.
Ooh. Yep. I wonder why.
Not giving away what he's the apprentice.
Well, hang on.
Be.
First, is this
what?
Is that exactly what happens next, or do they have a council meeting with?
No, because Palpatine basically says that he. He's gotten more emergency powers and he wants Anakin to be his representative on the Jedi Council, which means that if you're in the Jedi Council, Dean, do you know what that means, right?
I would assume you're
given the rank of master.
I'd assume you're immediately a master afterwards. That's exactly what happens.
So, well, Anakin goes to the council meeting now, newly appointed master, Jedi master. Mm-hmm. He's not Bond. I don't know why I said it like that. And
master,
tells the Jedi's that this is what's happening.
Yeah.
But the Jedi are really getting sick of this old man interfering with their religion. And they were like, okay,
like,
we have
okay,
no choice.
Boomer.
Yeah, okay, boomer. Yeah, they full on okay, boomer. They're like, all right, you can be on the council, but you're not going to be a master. And Anakin doesn't really take to that too well.
No,
he gets a little bit whiffed.
Yeah, which is complete, and he has a bit of a spat, which is completely out of character for him at this point.
Oh, he's just the model of calmness.
He really is. He's never whinged about anything before. So
that's right.
You know.
They discuss after they tell this child to sit down.
Yep.
Because he doesn't have any legs to okay boomer anyone in that room. He sits down. I would have loved it. Holy crap. I want someone to make this an edit. If you're one of the eight people who listen to this and you're really with it, can you do an edit where you replace Hayden Christensen's face with Greta Thunberg and just have the, how dare you? Anyway,
yes.
Back to it.
That would be great. All right.
So Yoda, not Yoda, sorry. Ki-Adi-Mundi mentions that there's going to be a droid attack on the Wookiees, and it's a very good system. We don't want to lose the Wookiees
because
then
we
don't have access
Wookiees.
To episode 456. So, yeah, how else are we going to get Chewbacca in this film?
Yeah.
So Yoda is like, I'm going. I'll go and handle this one. Anakin's angry, but not as angry as when Obi-Wan talks to him later. And says that we don't trust Palpatine. Ooh. He should have left office a long time ago.
He
and
really
our allegiance
should've.
Is to the people, yes. the Republic, and the Senate.
Yes.
Not to the Chancellor.
Yes.
Not to the Chancellor.
Disgusting. The Chancellor.
Be cool.
Chancellor.
And they ask Anakin to spy on him.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't good. It puts a lot of distrust into Anakin about the Jedi.
Anakin.
Because this isn't the Jedi way.
No. I also feel like at this point, it's starting to become quite apparent that, seriously, like, if Anakin just had a one-on-one chat, or like a two-on-one chat with Mace Windu and Yoda, and just hashed all this stuff out, things would be a lot better. I reckon, like,
they had a sit-down.
Yeah. And said, like, look, these are our issues with Chancellor. It's not that we don't trust you. It's just we don't trust him. You're a nice guy. Just
That's
settle
right.
down, you know, you got to go through things at proper places. And then he could be like, yeah, you know, but it's not fair because obviously I don't feel respected. And
That's exactly
appreciated.
It. That's all this movie is just a communications breakdown.
It really is. That's pretty much it.
It's an unhealthy relationship that needs a little bit of counseling.
It really does show like the
counseling.
You will forgive your husband.
Oh, that's a skit. That's funny. Right, don't take that.
that's our idea. You heard it here first. Yeah. So that's
next?
Basically the moral of the story to this one is just listen to each other. You know, just
that's
communicate.
Right.
Talk. Share
if something's
your feelings.
Up, find out.
That's it. Just
that's
share.
All it is, man. Yeah. Share.
Have a chat.
Yep.
Anyway,
conversations are two-way street.
Yep. Shut up. So basically, because you know.
Wow.
No,
that's funny.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
No, it's a communication. Dean, look, when you do that, it just hurts my feelings.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll remember that next time. I you know.
All right.
No,
what happens?
All right. What does happen? They want Obi-Wan to head off.
No.
No? Yeah, yes. Yeah, but at this point, Obi-Wan has been given the... Because that's the other bit that Anakin doesn't like, because he wants to go off and chase after Grievous, but they give that assignment to Obi-Wan instead. Because for some reason, Palpatine has the information for where Grievous is. Wonder how he got that information.
I don't know.
Gives it to Anakin. Anakin thinks, hey, I'm going to deliver this cool information to the council. They're going to love it. They're going to send me on this mission to kill Grievous. No, they send Obi-Wan instead.
You've jumped ahead.
I have not. Have I?
You have. Yeah, because he gives them that information when they go to the opera.
Are you?
There's two Jedi Council meetings.
Oh, frig. You're sure. You're right. I totally have.
You're
okay.
a beautiful boy.
Well, what happens in between? Does anything
Well,
happen
here's
in
what happens in between.
Okay.
They tell Anakin, spy on bloody Nora. Too many names.
Oh, freak.
Please spy on Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go to the opera. And Anakin goes up to the Chancellor's booth and they just sort of sit down. They start having a chit chat. And this is where Palpatine is like, great news. My droid scouts have figured out. Oh, side note, by the way, they're watching the Mon Calamari Aquatic Ballet and they're doing a piece. They're performing a piece called Squid Lake. That's a fun little fact.
You were joking. You're,
no, I'm being dead serious. I'm on Wikipedia right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Squid Lake.
The only entrance on Wikipedia about Squid Lake is Squid Lake was a Mon Calamari ballet. Shortly after the Battle of Coruscant, the dance was performed at the Galaxy's Opera House on Coruscant.
There you go.
It was during that performance that Supreme Chancellor Palpatine told Anakin Skywalker the story of Darth Plagueis and how the Dark Lord of the Sith was able to save those he loves.
So it was so memorable that one of the key highlights of the performance is a conversation that was happening in the audience.
How they the heard that, I don't know, but those Mon cows have got some serious hearing.
My goodness,
hearing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got some gross currency and some serious hearing.
And they can identify traps really well.
Yeah, they can.
They can. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they can. So anyway, sorry, I just got it. Anyway, so Palpatine tells Anakin. What?
Side note, this podcast is going to be like, it's going to be one of the funniest things to us. Everyone else is going to be like, what
if
the freaking hell are they talking
about? What's wrong with
you?
There's so many better podcasts. Anyway,
I think it's great. Yeah. We're hilarious.
Palpatine tells Anakin that we know where Grievous is. He's on Mustafar.
Yes.
And he's pretty stoked about that news. And then Palpatine says that the Jedi Order would be absolutely mental if they didn't send you to go and get him. You're the best by far.
Right.
And then it sort of falls apart. Mm-hmm. And Palpatine kind of assumes that the Jedi are asking him to spy on Palpatine because they don't trust him. Ooh. But Palpatine starts whispering in Anakin's ear, saying that the Jedi Order wants to overthrow me. They think they can rule the Republic better than me. So you need to keep your eye out for them. And this is where Anakin starts saying, yes, my trust in them has been shaken a little bit. You know, like, he's already in doubt. Mm-hmm. He already doesn't feel respected at work. He's under a huge deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And now this guy's just whispering sweet nothings into his ear.
He's relatable.
And he's taking the bait. He's relatable. He's like Hitler.
Anyway.
Well, look, let's not go down that
No, road. No, that's not.
Anyway, so Anakin is also telling him that, hang on, I'm reading this as he's just sort of saying that, the Sith are selfish and the Jedi are selfless. Well, and Palpatine's like, that's an absolute lie. So what?
Well, and also at this point, Anakin's already mentioned the nightmares that he's been having.
Yeah, he mentioned those when Palpatine appointed him his representative.
Yes, yes. So he's been talking about these bad dreams he's been having about Padme and whatnot. Pepe Sylvia. Yeah. And it's...
Pepe Sylvia! I thought you were saying Pompeii, but with a really weird accent. It's like, Padme, it's all going to fall over in Pepe.
It was a slip of the tongue. Pepe. So Palpatine decides, you know what? I've been looking into this whole dream thing for you. I got a couple of ideas for some things that might help. Got some, got a couple of pills here. Got some Wikipedia facts. There's this story about Darth Plagueis the Wise that you might be interested in.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, Darth Plagueis the Wise. He was this really powerful Sith, right? And he was so powerful that he could actually cheat death. Not die. Yeah.
You mean he could influence midichlorians to create life?
That is exactly what he could, which is that's the equivalent of not dying. And so this is interesting. And apparently it's like Anakin's like, oh, this is cool. Can I have his number? Yeah. And Palpatine says, well, actually, no, you probably can't. Because his apprentice
someone killed him.
Yeah. I don't know, a friend of a friend told me that they killed him.
Well, Dean, real quick though, that actually sounds like a really great story and a good skill to learn.
Yeah.
How can I learn this?
Well, probably not from a Jedi.
Yay!
Thank you for that.
Emperor. That was good. You're welcome, boy.
Again, we think we're hilarious. It's just take our word for it. This is all really funny.
The simple line just pushes Anakin further away from the Jedi. He pushes him away. It's like, it's getting real dicey.
I wonder where
right
you can
now.
Learn this stuff from then.
From a Jedi.
Not from a Jedi. Cut at that convenient point to where do we cut? Now we cut to the second meeting? No?
Now we go to... Now we go to Kashyyyk.
This is cool. I like this.
It's
welcome
super
to Kashyyyk.
Brief. You go to Kashyyyk for a little bit. There's just a buttload of, what do you call it?
Wookiees?
What do you call it? There's soldiers. There's soldiers. Wookiees, there's soldiers, and the battle kicks off.
Mm-hmm. Basically, and this is just fun Kashyyyk. Because we finally get to see Chewbacca's homeworld, which has kind of been promised since Return of the Jedi.
But I must say... Their designs changed a lot in between episode 3 and whenever the hell the holiday special is.
Yeah. You just
yeah,
a bit.
It's not, it doesn't look like an 80s apartment anymore. It kind of looks like what an actual Wookiee would live in.
There's a little bit less IKEA furniture around.
And a lot more trees.
A lot more
stormtroopers.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, a lot more like nature's own kind of, you know, self-made furniture. It's pretty good.
Well, and then also, it's after this, we have the meeting real quick. So Anakin tells them about Grievous. And he says that the Chancellor wishes me to go on this mission to lead this campaign.
Yeah.
Windu's like, no, that's not happening again. We're sending Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Anakin and Obi-Wan have a nice little moment where Anakin apologizes. He's like, you know, I haven't been appreciative of your teachings. I've let you down. I'm sorry. Obi-Wan says that he couldn't be more proud of him.
And this is what we're talking about. More of these kind of conversations would have solved everything, you know?
It would have solved everything.
Oh.
It would have just made Anakin chill the hell out.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Yes. So they bid each other farewell.
Mm-hmm.
Obi-Wan jumps on his ship and debarks for Utapau.
Farewell.
Yes.
And what happens next? We then... I don't remember the order of things. I know like beginning, end, and then everything else is kind of jumbled up in the middle.
Obi-Wan exits hyperspace in the Utapau system.
Okay.
He flies down and requests fuel, saying that the Separatist leader, General Grievous, is somewhere in the system. May we use this city as a base? And the Utapauian... says that we're being held hostage. He's right here.
Yep.
So Obi-Wan does a little cheeky diversion. He tells R4 to take the ship back up to Cody, Commander Cody, get ready for the attack. I'll let you know when it's about to kick off.
Yep.
And he just sort of disappears because you don't see him get back out of the ship, but he's not on the ship.
He
jumps on a...
giant
what the
lizard.
Hell does he jump on?
Basically a giant lizard. Right?
Yep.
That is what it is.
It's a giant lizard.
It's also really great for stealth because it doesn't make any noise.
A Varaxil.
A Varaxil.
Named Boga.
What?
By the way.
It has a name. Oh,
it has a name,
good.
Boga.
Nice.
I bloody love Wikipedia. Nice. If you don't use Wikipedia, seriously, you will get lost in this website. It's amazing.
Yeah.
If you love Star Wars crap...
I have
that may or may not come up in a trivia night, and if it does, you can flex on the other nerds hard.
Yeah,
what was the Varaktil's name in episode 3? You'd be like, ha, Boga.
I've wasted many hours on Wikipedia that I will never get back, and I do not regret it because, you know, YOLO. But
YOLO, that's
YOLO,
right.
Exactly.
So he rides the Varaktil, he rides Boga. And he finds Grievous on the 10th level. And here is where we get the absolute banger from this movie.
Oh.
Hello there.
Hello there.
General Kenobi.
This is where the fun begins.
He's going to try spinning. So Grievous, instead of fighting him like a real mandroid, sends his, what do you call him? Magna Guard. He sends his Magna Guard to go and take out Obi-Wan, but Obi-Wan's not having it this time.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls down an air conditioner unit, pretty expensive stuff right there, and crushes all the Magna Guards, and he's saying to Grievous, we're fighting. This is happening right now. You've got nowhere left to run, you grub.
Mm-hmm.
So Grievous is like, fine, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time where you see Grievous' special little party trick. Grievous is actually double-jointed in the most literal sense that I can think of. He has four arms.
Yep. And it's very cool.
It's
very cool.
It's underused in this movie, but it's fantastic when you see it.
And when you see it, when this scene happens, it's like, man, why didn't Grievous get more action like this? We do not want to see him send in his goons. We want to see him fight like this a lot more.
He doesn't get played very well in this movie.
No.
I think the cartoon series and the animated series really make him a lot more formidable.
Oh, yeah.
But in this movie, I feel like he's laughable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's really underpowered, except he spins two of his hands up, picture like a whippersnipper, and basically performs a... shield trick to Obi-Wan, but Obi-Wan being really, really cool and stuff, rams his sword in the middle of both the blades, stops him, and he just starts cutting off Grievous's hands. So we saw Anakin do it, and he doesn't want like the hand. They have a hand count.
Mm.
It's a Jedi thing.
It's pretty handy.
So Anakin was minus one because he lost a hand, but then he was plus two from Dooku, so he was sitting at plus one. Okay. Obi-Wan was sitting at plus zero, but he did have... well, he had a participation award because he cut Maul in half.
Oh,
so
okay.
He's got something. He's had a taste, but he's not refined enough yet.
Yeah, right.
So he's like...
Oh, no, hang on. He cut what's her name? Zem Wessel's arm off, hand off in Attack of the Clones. The Bounty Hunter?
Bang. So they're sitting at one all.
One all.
And this is a chance for the master to continue becoming the master. And he cuts off... Well, here's the question, Dean. Mm-hmm. He cuts off four of Dooku's hands, but are they hands or are they half hands?
One of them's a hand. I thought.
Does he get 4 points or two?
See, I thought he cut off a foot.
Does he get 1 point?
I thought one of them was a foot that he cut off. I could be wrong.
No. His feet don't get cut. He just, okay. Well, he runs like a weird spider.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Weird. Look, anyway.
He cuts off appendages. Cuts off two hands. So yep. He's up.
And when
two
the
more.
Fight's looking completely in Obi-Wan's favor, this is when mm-hmm. his squad, Commander Cody and the Third Systems Woo! Army arrive. Oh, all yeah. guns blazing. It's absolutely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They start engaging the Separatist force on Utapau. Grievous realizes that this is not his fight, even though it's literally his fight. runs back to his weird little unicycle mm-hmm. and bails out. But trusty Boga is still there. Boga Fett, the Viractyl. Obi-Wan jumps on him and they run the motorbike down. That's a good note to think that during the chase, Obi-Wan dropped his lightsaber.
Yes.
Which Commander Cody picks up. That's an important fact for later on.
Quite important.
When Commander Cody becomes the first clone Jedi. Oh, how sick would that have been? Imagine if a clone was forced. Look,
I have thought about that. That would be
this
cool.
This podcast is like a tangent wrapped in an
enigma. Do you reckon it's
enigma?
Possible for a clone to be force sensitive? Do you think?
Well, no, because the source isn't phone sensitive. I was looking at my phone. It's force sensitive.
But the clone is phone sensitive.
I'm phone sensitive, apparently. I thought I heard a message go off.
It'd be interesting.
Didn't.
I don't know. But because, you know, like, a force sensitive person can be born to two non force sensitive people. Parents.
Well, this you're is not wrong.
Extremely,
I can't think of,
you know,
I
what?
Can't think of any occasion where that's the case, but I believe you.
This is true. Well, Rey.
Well, we don't know her parents.
This is true. You know what? This is all really great stuff, and this is definitely what the listeners want to hear. But should we press on?
All right, we're going to go to pace mode.
Excellent.
Obi-Wan and Grievous end up on a landing platform where Grievous's ship is. They engage in a big old fight. It looks like Obi-Wan's about to be killed, but he doesn't have a lightsaber, but he does have a blaster, which is an archaic weapon, right in front of him, and he just shoots Grievous in the chest a bunch of times and blows his face off, apparently.
Cooks him, basically.
Cooks him. He cooks mm-hmm. him alive.
Cooks him in his own juices. And
he cooks him in his uselessness. That's exactly right. So whilst this happens, Obi-Wan's won the fight. We then cut back to the Jedi Temple where Windu tells Anakin that Obi-Wan's told them and he's killed General Grievous.
Yeah.
So he goes to Anakin goes to Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's an absolute lie. Anakin reveals to Windu that he thinks that Palpatine's the Sith Lord that they have been looking for.
Because they had a conversation.
He knew a lot about the Sith. He knew too much about the Sith.
And it's quite interesting. So they ask him to go back and spy on him again?
Well, Mace is like, how do you know this? And he's like, he knows the ways of the Force and he's been trained to use the dark side. Mm-hmm. So, he tells Anakin to stay out of the way. I'm going to go and take care of this. So he gets four of the boys. He gets Kit Fisto, Agen Kola and Sisi Tin, they jump on a gunship. They head for Palpatine's office. Once they enter, Palpatine turns around and is like, what's up?
Oh, yes.
And then Windu's like, you're under arrest for being a Sith or something like that. And then Palpatine's like, well, it's treason then. And then we have a lightsaber fight, if you want to call it that, where Palpatine.
There is at least one lightsaber fight here, and there is two or three just
kills.
Yeah, three Jedi Masters get killed super quickly and super easily. And actually, I've done a fun fact about this, but I'm going to get to it in a moment when it's prevalent. So basically, Sidious pulls out his lightsaber and starts killing. Mm-hmm. Windu is sort of going toe-to-toe with him. He disarms Palpatine, Sidious now, and he has him up against the wall. He's about to kill him. Anakin runs in. And he goes, no, he needs to be kept alive. He needs to stand trial. Windu's like, he's too dangerous to be left alive. He needs to die now. Mm-hmm. And Anakin is like, this isn't the Jedi way. Palpatine's freaking out. And he's like, oh, he tries to force lightning, but it doesn't work. It's getting redirected back into his face, disfiguring him. It's all going really bad for Palpatine. This looks like the end. Anakin is freaking out. And he's like, you can't kill him. I need him. Oh, he then proceeds to... He then proceeds to get an extra point on his master.
Two.
And cuts off both arms? I thought he just cut off his arm.
I think you might be right.
That's okay.
For some reason, I thought it was... No, because it was the two hands with Dooku. So I think you're right.
Two hands with Dooku.
Just one hand with Mace. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is fine because when he shows up in The Mandalorian, he's going to have one hand still.
Oh, don't tease me.
How good would that be?
That would be so good. Oh, I'm remembering that. I'll remember that for next week.
Well, he wants to come back. He wants to come back. But why?
He does.
Why would he possibly not?
That's right. Because there's no reason why he couldn't survive this.
No.
Anyway, cuts off his arm. Mm-hmm. What? Well, survive he cuts off his arm. Mm-hmm. And then Palpatine quickly flips and he goes, unlimited power. And then force lightnings him again and blows him out the window, thus killing him. Now, here's the fun fact. Mm-hmm. Whenever you saw Palpatine fight in the Clone Wars animated series, he had two lightsabers. Mm-hmm. He had two lightsabers the entire time that they were doing that fight. And the reason he put himself in that position was to flip Anakin.
Yes. So he was never in a position of weakness. It was all
ever. He had complete control of that situation, which is mental.
Which also means he was intentionally mutilating himself with the dark
He was taking one for the team. Mm-hmm. So Anakin is absolutely he's disgusted by killing Windu. He knows that there's no turning back now. He's just killed one of the Jedi Council Masters. And he pledges allegiance to Darth Sidious now and to the dark side. Darth Sidious apprentices him, Darth Vader, and orders him to rise.
You will be known as Vader.
Darth Vader.
Darth
Vader. He then says that the Jedi are trying to kill him and overtake the Republic. You need to get to the Jedi Temple and kill every single person there. He takes the five. This is the best bit. Ready? Mm-hmm. He takes the 501st Legion into the temple.
Yes.
So, you know the 501st. Oh, Legion, right?
Really? That's who it was.
That's what all the fan cult thing is called.
Oh.
The 501st.
So the 501st is named after this, or
I think 501st must have been Vader's squad. Like that must be his crew.
Okay.
And this is now the birth of the 501st. If I'm wrong, again, shut up.
I wonder what came first. Did the 501st stormtrooper group come first and then Lucas?
The 501st Legion, also known as the 501st Battalion or Vader's Fist.
Wow.
So it's got to be a lore thing because the 501st has been around for a while. It's got to have been before the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
But look, honestly, they don't even say 501st in the movie.
But then...
It doesn't matter.
Okay. But according to Wikipedia, this is the 501st.
Yes.
Excellent.
Anakin chuffs off. Mm-hmm. Palpatine orders Order 66. This is basically well, hang on. It's a little bit too early for this. He leads the 501st to the temple, and then he just proceeds to kill everything that walks that isn't a clone trooper. Mm-hmm. And it has that one scene where he walks into the youngling chamber, and they're like, Master Skywalker, there's too many of them. What are we to do? And then he activates the lightsaber. You're like, you're dead. It's pretty rough, actually. It's a really sad scene. Mm-hmm. Palpatine orders Order 66, which is instantly set into motion. We see all these different shots of different battlefields where their Jedi get turned against by their clone soldiers, their family. They get blasted apart. They get the ship shot out of the sky. They just get the living crap kicked out of them, and they're killing every single Jedi.
Goodbye, Ki-Adi-Mundi. Goodbye.
Ki-Adi-Mundi, Plo Koon. Who else we got? Just some other people.
What's her name?
Stas Ali. What else? Ayala Sakura. Look, anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But what other Jedis do we know? We know about Yoda, and he's on Kashyyyk
now. Oh, no. What's going to happen to Yoda?
They get the call, and they're about to go and kill Yoda. But Yoda's obviously being Yoda, senses this.
He's
cuts the head off
this.
His clone troopers, and now he's under the protection of the Wookiees.
Mm-hmm.
He has survived Order 66 for now, but he needs to get off Kashyyyk and into isolation. Yes. He must go.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but also, what happens to Obi-Wan?
Oh, yeah. So, Obi-Wan gets his lightsaber back off Cody, and then he proceeds to climb in Boga up the mountain to get to a ship, I think. I forget what happens.
I'm guessing he's getting back to a ship.
Yeah, Cody shoots him off the mountain, basically.
Yeah.
And they fall into water, thankfully. So, I'm just going to take a stab and say that Boga survived because I honestly can't live with his death.
Yeah.
Because he has such a cute little scream.
Especially now that he's got a name.
Freak. Exactly. Don't kill Boga, you douche. So Obi-Wan does survive. He crawls back up to the 10th floor from underwater to Grievous's ship and flies away.
Yep.
What happens next? Well, Yoda and Obi-Wan get picked up by Senator Organa.
Bail Organa.
Bail Organa.
Mm-hmm. Such a boy.
They then decide to go to Coruscant to recalibrate the Jedi beacon, basically saying because there's the beacon's going off saying all Jedi must come back to Coruscant.
It's a
huge
trap.
So Yoda and Obi-Wan are going to go back there, flip it and say we've been betrayed. Mm-hmm. The Jedi Order is collapsed. Run away.
Yes.
So they go after that, Vader goes back to Padme.
Oh, I was going to say, another awesome thing. Now, this is not actually Clone Wars. This is Rebels. But one of my favorite things about Star Wars Rebels is that you actually get to see the recording that Obi-Wan... are you going to say that?
Well, I was going to say I'm not up to it.
Oh, okay. Oh crap. I'm sorry.
No, you said that super early. It's in the Jedi Holocron, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in the Holocron. So you have seen that.
Apologies.
Yeah, you actually see Obi-Wan's message that he leaves.
It's great. And it's awesome. Like that. That's an awesome touch.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
Obi!
It's cool. And it's pretty much exactly what you expect and what you'd imagine, but you get to see it's like...
Run, bitch!
Good to have you.
Skadoodle, skedaddle.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
So then Vader goes back to Padme, who's been a bit of a wreck since she could see a humongous fire emerging from the Jedi Temple.
Yep.
He basically says that the Jedi have betrayed the Republic and they're all traitors to the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
He then asks for her loyalty to the Chancellor and then he tells her that he's going to go to the Mustafar system where the rest of the Separatists are. And he's like, I'm going to go kill them all because this is going to end the war and we can begin to live our lives, basically.
And Padme's not super keen on this idea. You can kind of tell.
Well, she's also not an idiot.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know where this is coming from, but I don't like it.
No.
And I think you might be a little bit evil.
Just a bit. Baby brain hasn't kicked in yet. So she's still.
That's exactly.
She's still.
I'm gonna assume you can make that joke because you have a pregnant wife.
Yeah. Well, I probably. It just means I'm in the firing line more by making
As
that
he
joke.
Looks around the room to make sure the joke's safe.
Hey, I'm getting death stares. Whoops. Don't say that.
Maybe she just
wife,
forgot
guys.
What she was doing. Don't you repeat that.
That's
you
right.
Shut your mouth.
You have you wait no, till you hear what Paul just said in response oi. To my bad joke.
Hey, nerds before birds, man.
I don't think it's gonna exist in a bit. Anyway, let's push on.
All right, so Vader lives up to his thing and he goes to Mustafar and he then proceeds to kill every single Separatist leader.
They're really stoked that he comes in as well. It's like, it's a great, like, because they were super keen. They get the message that Anakin's going to come and look after them. It's like, sweet. And they, like, you know, they basically set the table for his... you know, rivals like, oh, yep. you're Darth Vader. Hey, what's up, man? Take a seat. Yeah, you want anything? You want
it's
a drink?
Basically,
oh, you good? You
it's
good?
Basically what happens before Han Solo opens the door on Bespin. You know when Vader's sitting down at the table?
Yeah, they're super ready to have a party and then it's him. Vader. Yeah. It's like, crap. Yeah. So
his eyes also, by the way, have now turned yellow, which is the, you know, like he's yellow and red.
It
so he's
the,
full on dark side boy now.
The Sith kind of, Just like the look. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The Senate hold a special session. Palpatine tells them that the Jedi have tried to overthrow them, but it was foiled. He then said that the rest of the Jedi are going to be hunted down and killed. And then he says that in order to ensure the security and continued stability of the Republic, we're going to be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire.
Whoa. Yeah, and everyone's and pretty keen for this as well.
Everyone's super stoked. Padme and Organa are there, and she has the line saying, "So this is how liberty dies," with thunderous applause. And by golly, is she correct.
But holy crap.
In the meantime, we cut back to Obi-Wan and Yoda. They're at the Jedi Temple. So, this is what the Wikipedia says. In the meantime, Obi-Wan and Yoda go to the temple, slaying clone troopers and walking in disbelief through the carnage. So in their one horse open sleigh, they've walked into the temple.
And they
notice that lightsabers have killed a lot of these people. So they both want to figure out who the hell did it. And they see that it's Anakin, who is not Anakin anymore. It's obviously he's overtaken. He's been consumed. Anakin is gone. So Yoda is going to go and get Sidious, and Obi-Wan is going to go and get Vader. That's how this plays out. So Obi-Wan goes to say hello to Padme and asks her how pregnancy's going, just what's up with her life, how's things. And then also, hey, has Anakin turned to the dark side and has he killed all the younglings at the temple?
Yeah, what's going on with your husband?
Well, she's not happy about hearing that. That's kind of the equivalent of like, you know, my husband just got paid, but then he went and spent it all at the pokies. But this is more like my husband just became a traitor and killed a bunch of kids.
Yeah. It's pretty much the same thing. Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to believe this. And then Obi-Wan realizes that the kid that Padme is holding is Anakin's. And this is just something that completely befuddles Obi-Wan. He was not ready for this at all.
Not holding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just
holding them inside her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's.
Look. Shut
That's
up.
A thing.
Padme knows where Anakin is, but she doesn't tell Obi-Wan because she's not a rat. Padme gets on her little cruiser and heads off to Mustafar, but Obi-Wan's like,
because Obi-Wan knows that she's not a little rat. Besides,
exactly.
I'm going to turn you into. Yeah, I'm just going to make you a tracking device. That's basically it.
I'm going to use you as bait.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to be my Uber.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So then they land on Mustafar, and Padme is just, you know, face to face with Anakin, who's stoked to see her. He's like, this is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But then she's sort of up in his face saying, oi, did you kill younglings? That's what Obi-Wan says. And Anakin doesn't say that he did it. He's basically like, this is all Jedi lies.
He's against annoyed me. That Obi-Wan's been talking to his missus.
He's like, gaslighting her right now.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm pretty sick of Obi-Wan interfering. Like, it's bad enough that he was like super keen on your wardrobe 2 episodes ago. I just that weirded me out completely. Now it's, you know.
Little did we know that when Obi-Wan left that house, he also like grabbed a blouse.
So like, oh, I'm probably not going to come back here. I better grab a couple of dresses.
This is swanky. This will be great in spring. So then Padme's like, let's just leave all this. Let's run away and we're going to raise our child in peace.
Notice where Obi-Wan decides to hide away.
In the closet.
In the wardrobe.
No, he hides in the landing gear.
Oh, does he? Would be fantastic.
So. He could be in the wardrobe. You know what? I'm not going to dispute that.
We've
got to
call it the wardrobe. Why not? He hides in his favorite place. Okay.
Padme's like, let's run away. Let's raise our child in peace. But Vader is just completely taken now by the dark side. And he says that he's so much stronger than Palpatine. I'm going to go and kill him and we can rule the galaxy together. Padme is not happy with this.
She's extremely like, appealed.
Please stop. I still love you. Then Obi-Wan emerges, probably in a completely different outfit now.
and he's looking fabulous.
He's looking stunning.
Oh, my God.
Vader is just angry to see him here, thinking that Padme's been lying to him the whole time and that this was a hot trap for Obi-Wan to find Anakin. And she's like, it's honestly not. Please calm down. Anakin then calms down and understands rationale, and he then turns back to the light side, doesn't he?
Yeah.
No, he force chokes his wife to unconsciousness. And then proceeds that to sort
and
of get up in everyone's face.
It wasn't consensual either. That's definitely
it wasn't consensual. No. This was assault.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan is then checking on her, and she's not dead, but she's, you know, hopefully she should be fine. All it is just like a little bit of suffocation, but she's still breathing.
She'll recover.
And by my understanding of the human body, it can recover from this. So that's fantastic to hear. But then
I mean, it's fine. Like, I think the baby's okay as well.
I think everything's okay with Padme and the child.
Everything's fine. Nothing's broken.
Not at all. No. So Obi-Wan and Vader then proceed to enter just the sickest lightsaber fight in any of the movies. It's so over the top. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But we then cut away. We cut away to the Chancellor's office. Feel free to chime in anytime, by the way.
You're doing good, mate. You're doing good.
Okay.
It is pretty good. It is awesome.
Okay.
There is a point at this point, like during the fight scene, and it's like later on in the fight scene where like
with Yoda and Palpatine?
No, like when we cut back to Obi-Wan and Anakin, some of the things do get a little bit too ridiculous. And then
spinning blades that don't touch?
Yes.
No, I like that. I think that's great.
I was like, what's the point of it? But
would you not be so stoked? Like, they did so much training.
They did.
The behind the scenes for Revenge of the Sith is actually really good.
Yes, I have seen the behind the scenes of those guys fighting.
Just the training they go through to become, like, they become genuinely good sword fighters.
Oh, yeah. And, like, and also you watch, like, you know, very recent interviews with Obi-Wan, and he has not forgotten his training. Like,
the one on Graham Norton.
On Graham Norton, He's still incredibly good and, like, you know, using it as a baseball bat and all that. But anyway, I digress.
Very good.
There are certain points here where I feel like, for me, the Phantom Menace Darth Maul fight still takes the cap. I think it's more
iconic.
That was
very good.
And, there's certain points in that, especially, like, with all, you know, the acrobatics and stuff that Maul's doing.
Yes.
And Obi-Wan.
The fact that it was a 2-on-1.
Yeah. But then when Obi-Wan runs out after Qui-Gon's been killed, that for me, that's probably the best. The best.
The fact
that
he just runs in so hard.
Yeah.
It's great.
Crazy.
I love that bit.
It's so good.
It's absolutely awesome.
But anyway, this one easily second best. I think it's great.
I'd say it's equal first.
Okay.
Because just the emotion behind it.
Yeah, this is true.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But before we get to see all of that, we go back to the Chancellor's office where Yoda confronts Sidious.
In one of the coolest ways ever.
And they basically just they engage in a lightsaber fight. Mm-hmm. It's mainly just a lot of force pushing. And Yoda does that thing where he becomes Crouching Puppet Hidden. Wait. Crouching, what do I call it? Crouching Tiger Hidden Muppet.
Crouching Tiger Hidden
or something.
Muppet.
Yeah.
I do love when he walks into Palpatine's office.
And just knocks the guards
out. And
they're
about to, knocks him into the wall.
It's so easy.
So
they
good.
Go into the Senate chambers and they start throwing those weird little pods at him. Mm-hmm. And it just sort of boils down to the fact that
it's a big
Palpatine had the high ground.
Pretty much.
And Yoda just couldn't get him. Yoda kind of falls to the Senate floor.
Yep.
And he has to bail out of the fight because he just can't.
Yep.
He can't win.
He can't.
But speaking of bailing, he gets picked up by Bail Organa.
Nice.
Where Yoda tells him that into exile I must go. Mm-hmm. Where he's going to go, we might know a thing or two about.
We'll find out later.
Then we come on back to Mustafar. Mm-hmm. It's just a big old fight. It's through
it's
a lot
getting
of different
pretty crazy.
Locations.
It's getting pretty crazy.
It's insane.
They've knocked off the shields. The heat
shields are down. The Mustafar station. Mustafar's like a lava planet, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Probably should explain
The
that.
Whole planet's starting to fall apart, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. The station, whatever they're in.
Yeah, whatever.
Not the planet.
The lava plant is burning down.
They then fight
on the lava fields themselves. And then after a short while, Obi-Wan backs off and lands on solid ground and then tells Anakin, I have the high ground. Don't try it. Anakin then says, you underestimate my power, and tries it. So he, Boomer is his own master, but every now and then the Boomer knows better.
The Boomer maybe listen to them once in a while.
Maybe
they've been
things.
Where you were at one point, and maybe they've seen what happens, and maybe they're prepared.
Obi-Wan slices off every limb that's not a machine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his left arm and both of his legs.
Yep.
Vader tumbles down the embankment and he rolls to the top of the edge of the river.
Labor's happening with Padme. That's
right. There's a labor dispute now at the plant. The Anakin is just screaming at Obi-Wan. He hates him. Obi-Wan's like, you are my brother. I loved you. Yeah. I failed you. It was so sad. It was so sad. This bit gets me every single time. Even the bit where he's like, I have failed you. Oh. That's earlier, but even that whole thing.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah, it's emotional.
Vader gets a little, he touches lava and that's bad. And he gets lit on fire, and this is just, he's absolutely on fire, he's angry.
Mm-hmm.
Obi-Wan sees this as his chance to take Anakin's lightsaber and go away. But he comes back and he finds that Padme is still unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets her on the ship and they chuff off.
Yep.
In the meantime, Sidious realizes that Anakin's in trouble. We need to go to Mustafar.
Sure.
So they go there and they find him. I need to re-listen to that scene. Hang on, we'll get to that in a sec. They get Vader and they strap him to a stasis pod and they get him in Sidious to shuttle and peace out of the planet. They shuffle off.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, and then we cut back to what we're going to say.
Well, so we go to the asteroids.
Right? Yeah.
And here's what it says. Yoda meditates and hears the spirit voice of Qui-Gon Jinn. Does he?
Does. He mentions it. I don't think you actually hear it.
He mentions it, but it literally says that he hears the voice.
Okay.
The voice tells him, oh, no, that's an absolute lie. Yeah, he says the voice tells him there's a way to merge with the Force and retain consciousness after death. In order to learn this power, Yoda declares himself a spirit. No, he declares himself an apprentice to the spirit of Qui-Gon Jinn. Did that happen?
No, well, that was never explained, that's how it went down.
Yeah.
But he basically was like, look, I've been able to contact an old friend of ours that passed away. And I was like, Master Qui-Gon. He's like, yeah. Qui-Gon. And there's a way to communicate, teach you.
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
Which is mental.
And Obi-Wan's like, how can you teach this? It's like, only from a Jedi. boom.
Go on.
Yeah. That's basically all you see. But there you go. So there's a bit more backstory. So Yoda becomes an apprentice to Qui-Gon. Oh, that's cool. Pretty cool. That's very cool.
So then we go back to Padme, and this is absolutely stupid. She's dying of a broken heart. We're in the bloody future, people. All right? Garbage. I don't get this bit. I hate it. It's terrible writing. It's a waste of time. I hope Natalie Portman got paid for this bit.
Yeah, coming up. So
she got stitched up.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, yeah. So I just want to see like how they like that kind of communication there is like, okay, Natalie, now look, you're dying of a broken heart. Okay. That's what I want you to capture here.
Sorry. What?
Good luck. is it a heart attack? No, you're broken heart. Broken heart. That's it.
Like an aorta has broken. No.
Your heart is broken.
You're sad and that's going to kill you. It's like, okay, so depression? No. You're just sad.
You know, like when somebody breaks up with you, like that.
What's the accent you're doing?
Like this is George Lucas. Bad George Lucas.
Yes.
Well, you know what?
No, sorry, carry on.
It wasn't going to be a funny joke. I was like, no, it's.
Yeah, no, do the joke. It's okay, great. Okay. No, do it.
And I need do to it. Do, I, it's just like whenever I'm trying to be George, I got to embrace it.
You got to do the accent? Get into it. Go for it.
Okay. So you know when someone breaks up with you, like you take that and then you die from it. That's a broken heart.
Move on after a while.
No. You die.
Oh no.
You die.
It's my rich white ass. So anyway,
yeah.
Padme has the kids. They're twins.
What?
Who'd have thought? What are you going to name him? And she gives him the name Luke and Leia. Bail Organa is like, I'm taking Leia. And she's going to live the life of a princess. Mm.
And then like they're like, you know what? They're siblings. Maybe we should keep them together. Just, you know, we for developmental reasons. They're like, oh, hell no. We can only take one. Thanks. We didn't want twins.
We don't get government subsidies. So we're just going to take one.
Yeah,
no, if that's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Things are different on the Alderaan system.
We then see Vader. He gets rebuilt and he gets put in the iconic Darth Vader armor. We see the helmet gets sealed over his face.
Yep.
And then he wakes up and he asks where he's now got James Earl Jones' voice. He asks, where's Padme? And Palpatine says that in your rage, you killed her. Vader then screams and breaks stuff. And it's stupid.
Yep.
It's so dumb.
No.
And then we cut back to Padme, who's now dying of a broken heart, but she, in her final breath, she said that there's still good in Anakin, and she dies believing that the man that she loved is still good.
That's so good.
That's wrong.
You know.
Woo. Anyway. So then we
gotta be
pretty much
finished, right? Oh no, we got two more scenes. Yeah.
Yep. So
we're there.
All right. On board the Tantivive 3, Dr. Naboo, Obi-Wan, Yoda, and Bail Organa, they sort of like, they're going to keep the baby. They're just going to say that she died. They're going to keep Padme looking pregnant to think that the children died when she died, except they're going to split them up. So Bail takes Leia. And Obi-Wan says that he's going to take Luke to the crap planet of Tatooine, where he can live as a dirty water farmer.
Yep.
Whilst Leia lives in luxury. So then this is also where Yoda tells Obi-Wan
It's where it becomes Parent Trap, basically.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah, they're going to go to London. One of them's going to go to New York.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're going to meet up, and then they're going to switch places. And
they're both going to be played by Mark Hamill.
Brilliant.
So Yoda tells Obi-Wan that he's been talking to Qui-Gon. It's pretty cool. We see Padme's funeral, which is pretty sad. There's like inside, this is one thing that was sad though. In her hands was the little piece of wood that Anakin gave her from Tatooine.
That was nice.
So that's pretty sad. We then see, there's also a deleted scene where Yoda
was always the little boy. To her, he was always the little boy that she met on Tatooine.
Yeah, that's weird.
Which actually makes it even weirder, because that relationship really wasn't weird enough. Because, my goodness.
And that's sort of where this ends, but there's a couple of deleted scenes. We see that Yoda goes to Dagobah. We see that Vader and the Emperor are talking with Governor Tarkin to have a look at the Death Star being built.
So Tarkin there is the scene, but he actually talks in a deleted scene, does he?
All I'm saying is it just says that Vader, the Emperor, and Governor Wilhuff Tarkin oversee the construction of the of an unspecified moon-sized battle station.
Right. That is in the movie, though. Like, because they're on the bridge.
I think one of the deleted scene is just Yoda going to Dagobah.
Okay, yeah. And then, you got Vader, Palpatine, and, Tarkin watching the Death Star being built.
That's right.
You got Obi-Wan.
We see Organa and his wife with Leia.
Yep.
And then the movie ends with Obi-Wan taking Luke to Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. Mm-hmm.
Where we see a very, very familiar moisture farm and a very familiar twin sunsets.
That's right. And they hold the infant and look out in the horizon to watch the setting of the twin suns. And that is where
finally
the movie ends.
Freaking it. There you go.
So, Dean, I'm going to wrap this quick. Do you give this out of 5 birds?
I'm going to give this 3, I think. We have slowly been building up over the last couple of weeks. And, I think this is a 3 bird kind of movie.
I am going to give it 3.5 birds.
Wow, nice.
Because I really liked it. I like it. It's a good movie.
Fair enough.
So that's the end of the podcast. I'm going to do Jason's thing and say show a bunch of times. if you've enjoyed the podcast and you want to support us, we have a Patreon for as little as $1 a month. You can sort of help us pay for some costs, pay for advertising, and just sort of help keep these mics and its hosts hot. Plastic surgery is what we're saying.
You're welcome.
But if you can't support us financially, there's a lot of subscription services out there, so we totally understand that. Even just a simple 5-star review on Apple Music or any of the other podcast platforms aside from Spotify that we're on, that also helps us a lot. It just helps other nerds. Okay.
We'll also read your reviews.
Well, I'm
sorry, I didn't know you. I was just. you hadn't mentioned it yet, so I was just like,
because I hadn't got to it.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't know. I don't know this.
5-star review would be great. It helps other nerds find this podcast.
It does. What are we going to do with the 5-star reviews, Paul?
Well, as Dan already said, he's rude. If you give us a 5-star review, I'll read it within reason on the podcast. Even if you hate the podcast and want to give us some feedback, give us a 5-star review, and then we'll read the feedback.
It's the doorway
which will most likely be taken into account and not be met by snarky comments. So rest assured in that.
For sure.
We're also on all the socials. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're Nerds Before Birds on all of those except for Twitter, where we are Nerds Before Bird singular because of archaic character limits. It's 2019 Twitter. Get your head out of your butts. And that's pretty much it. Guys, thanks for joining us for this month and a half long extravaganza.
Oh,
tune in next week, where it's then going to become a month and 3 weeks extravaganza, because we're talking about The Mandalorian,
Looking forward to Jason being back. I will not be
Jason
there.
Jason will be back. We are going to have a special guest next week.
Are we?
Well, we are. Yeah, I don't think I told you this. We have a special guest.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're fully
and then he's
going to
stick around. He's going to stick around. We're going to have a special Dean fill-in.
Excellent.
For the next
weeks, yeah, I'm
actually.
Away for a little bit. So, yeah.
So, we've got Mandalorian next week. And then the following week, guys, it's episode 9. We're
Ooh.
Doing it. All the cool people have midnight launch tickets. So I know I've got mine. Jason's got his. That's why he's seeing it that day.
Brilliant.
I've got one. Basically, is what matters.
Cool.
And we're going to do a podcast that day. So expect on the 19th to have a episode 9 podcast. But that's pretty much it, guys. Thank you for sticking around for this long. And I hope you enjoyed the podcast. That's a bye from me.
Bye.